Welcome to the Faith Element Podcast for the June 24, 2018 session, focusing on 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 through 13, Affection Rejection. I'm David Cassidy.
I'm Nikki Hardiman.
I'm Daniel Glaze.
And I'm Bert Montgomery.
All right, guys, so as we're recording this, it's actually the last day of May. But where I am in Arkansas, it's already like August. It's going to be 104 here on Saturday. I don't know. We're
are you
states.
Serious?
Oh, I'm not kidding. It's going to be 104 man. Saturday. Yeah, it's insane. It's just crazy. But yeah, what about for you guys? You're in different states. What's the temp?
I'm only showing 95 here in Mississippi on Friday.
Wow.
Saturday.
Good Lord have mercy.
We've hit 90, I think, but with the humidity, it feels like 136.
Yeah,
but you know, I'm from New Orleans, so you people are just whiners.
You know, now listen, I will say
this is
after
not
living
hot.
Living in Macon, Georgia.
Oh,
I was just going to say, yeah. Last time I was in New Orleans, my glasses just stayed foggy. I mean, it was bonkers,
steam fest.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, well, such are the days of summer. Hopefully, as you're listening to this podcast, you're in a cool environment, maybe with a nice, nice tasty beverage.
Cheers.
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 Staying cool. So, as you're chilling there, let's continue in our conversation. We're still in 2 Corinthians. Bert, could you get us started?
I'd like to, and I'd like to start with an old Cole Porter song. And remember, I am not a trained singer. Oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in. Sorry, I got out of tune there. But don't fence me in. The song has remained a favorite of mine since I first heard it on one of my father's albums over 40 years ago. The song speaks to all of us at some level or another. All of us to varying degrees at various times in various places have felt confined. We felt restricted. We have felt fenced in. And I fear the same may be said for the church. The church is the living body of Christ, called to live out the love and mercy and forgiveness and transforming grace of God in this world. And many of us can testify to the power of God's grace flowing through a loving community of faith. But for many, maybe even for some of us, we've also experienced the church to be restrictive, to be a suffocating institution filled with rules and regulations and expectations and doctrinal tests, a place that demands too much from us and that provides us with too little creative room to do it. The church can be such an exhilarating and liberating experience, and it should be. But unfortunately, some have found the church to be too willing to tie up heavy loads and place them on our shoulders. When I was reading today's text, I went to several different translations, as I often do, and to some different commentaries, but I kept coming back to these last few verses. I don't know what else we want to talk about in the text and what else Paul has to say here. I was just drawn to verses 11 through 13, specifically in Eugene Peterson's The Message. Paul writes, Dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open, spacious life. We did not fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives are not small, but you are living them in a small way. And I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. Now, as we know, Paul was facing continual criticism and resentment and hostility and accusations from people in Corinth and the Corinthian church. And I don't know all the context here, and I don't know all the reasons why they were angry with Paul. And really, who among us today doesn't find ourselves angry with Paul from time to time, huh? But as a pastor, I'm thankful that Paul is writing this. Not so that I can know how to teach proper Pauline doctrine to the churches, but because I, as a minister, find comfort, hope, and strength here. Because if Paul was facing these things, well, then I'm not alone. Mm. Now, of course, I'm not Paul, but I've been accused recently of being heretical, of not having good leadership skills, of taking churches in directions they shouldn't go, of running people off by being so welcoming and preaching about so much diversity that we're no longer welcoming toward those who have different opinions about diversity. And it hurts. Broken relationships hurt. It's not in my nature to seek tension and conflict. It's in my nature to avoid tension and conflict. I want everyone to be my friend. And I'm thankful for the church folks around me who have reminded me that we, and they say we, not putting it on me personally, we did not run anyone off. We never said, you have to believe like us to belong here. People have left because they have chosen not to be part of an open and loving church toward all people. And eventually, I've not only lost the opportunity to be pastor to a few people, they have chosen not to be my friend. Paul faced that kind of pain in his letters to Corinthians. And not so long ago, I said some similar words to someone, which I heard echoing in my mind as I reread from Paul, here again from the New Revised Standard Version. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open to you. There is no restriction in our affections, but only in yours. In return, I speak as to children. Open wide your hearts also. There's a lot of other places we can go with this text, but that's what spoke to me this week.
Bert, I appreciate your sharing your story, vulnerable as it was. I'm sorry you're having to deal with the pain and the blowback from living an authentic life of open and welcome and ministering and preaching, you know, and living that out. And I guess if there's some encouragement here, I would say, you know, you stand in a strong biblical witness, brother, that, you know, if there's restriction to the gospel and if there's restriction to loving all persons, it's not on your part and the part of your loving people, but it's a hard thing for folks to get their minds around. If all people really means all people, then that includes people I don't like, I don't agree with, and too many of us just can't go there. But I appreciate you and your ministry and having removed all those restrictions to fellowship. For without that, there would be many people in your community without a family of faith. And you've given them that. Your church has given them that.
You know, as a good Baptist, we've missed it in great opportunity to emphasize verse 2, right? Now is the day of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. He says we're putting no obstacle in anyone's way.
You know, we get to this point in the text, and we've been in 2 Corinthians for a few weeks together now, and throughout all of it, Paul is defending, and we know through the first 6 chapters, Paul is really working to defend the ministry that he has done with the Corinthians and elsewhere. And he does it all along the way. And he has these places along the way in the text that we look at. It's, you know, we've been this, but not this, this, but not this. And he does it in today's text as well. Like, you know, we're treated as imposters and yet are true, as unknown, yet we are well known, as dying, and see, we are alive, as punished and yet not killed. And so, you know, he's got this, we've got all of this going on, but not yet, not yet. you know, as I was working on this passage myself, we all know I have a tumultuous relationship with Paul. Most of the time I just get real frustrated with him. And I think there's reason for that, and not on him, but Christianity sometimes suffers because of some of the things he's done. But I was so appreciative as I was reading this text and working on it of Paul, which was, you know, everybody, you know, yeah, take a deep breath. It happened. Write it down. Because I zeroed in on the same verses that Bert did. And he says to them, our hearts are open wide to you. There is no obstacle here. We love you. We care about you. The gospel is for you. And it's for everyone. And I think that, you know, he says, there's no restrictions in our affection, only yours. And we only restrict affections when we are afraid. I think that it's when we're afraid somebody's going to stomp on it, or somebody's going to reject it, or that we're going to give somebody an inch and they're going to take it away from us. You know, I think that affections are restricted when we are afraid. And Paul says, there is no reason to be afraid here. And there's no reason to make anybody else afraid to be a part of what we're doing here in this gospel. I don't know. There is a vulnerability in Paul in these verses. He lays everything bare. He says, here I am. There is no restriction in my affection for you. And that's risky, because they can stomp on it and they can take advantage of that. And Paul says, here I am. There's a vulnerability in Paul to the Corinthians in this passage that is, quite frankly, kind of remarkable. A lot of us struggle to get to this place that Paul is at.
It is rather remarkable, isn't it, Nikki, that here we have what we might call a different Paul. This is not someone who's laying out his pedigree. It's not someone who says, you know, hey, I was, you know, chief among Pharisees. I was zealot of all the zealots. You know, this is not a chest beating kind of defense of the gospel. It's a very vulnerable holding out his heart, holding out his hand, realizing that very well may not be taken, but still he holds that out as important and as crucial to the gospel. Because he says, you know, we're in this together. As the very first verse of this section, we work together for him. This is not just Paul here. And so he needs their partnership, and he's holding his hand out there, and he's hoping for that return. So it really is sort of an interesting kind of Paul we have here, one who's not, you know, lone ranger for the gospel. He's not are you with me or are you not? He's holding a hand out in fellowship and affection, and he's asking them to come to a place where they can partner in the gospel. And I mean, that's the very first verse here in this section. It's, you know, this is we are working together on this. Paul knows that gospel is about partnership, and he's hopeful they will reciprocate this relationship. Yeah, it's a different kind of Paul than we've seen before. This is not a chest beating, pedigree listing Paul. This is a vulnerable, heart out, you know, offering it to others kind of Paul, and it's a beautiful image.
It's a risk-taking image, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most of us, I know I am, if I think there's a chance that I'll be snubbed, laughed at, or somehow rejected, the last thing I'm going to do is put my foot in that room, right? I'm not going there. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I guess what I hear you saying, Daniel, is, you know, Paul really is taking a risk. He's not just being vulnerable and opening. He is, though, doing those things, but he could get hurt.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm.
And maybe that's the call for the church, to remember that we're in this together. There's a we, not just an I, to this. And that for this to really work, for the church to really work, we've got to be able to open ourselves up to one another. And you know, when folks do that to us, to open up themselves, that we don't hurt them when they do that. Return an embrace for an embrace.
Yeah.
It's a hard thing to do. It really is. But what a wonderful example Paul's given to us here in this passage. And I just love this phrase, that we have here in this passage. There is no restriction in our affection, but only in yours. May there be no restriction in our affections. What a good word.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you all for this good conversation.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Faith Element is a service of Faith Lab.